Okay, even though it's Shabbos Chanukah this week, we often forget that we have a wonderful, terrific Parsha, Parshas Miketz. And of course, let's get to it and take a look at some of the great points to ponder in Parshas Miketz. So we begin, of course, with Paro's major dreams, where he dreams two dreams, and then he wakes up in the morning, where he gets up in the morning, and he was very distressed. So Rav David Pavarsky Zatzal compared Yosef to Paro. He points out that when Paro dreams, and he wakes up, he's all out of sorts, and he demands that the rest of the country be so as well until Paro himself finds an acceptable translation to his own dreams. Yosef, on the other hand, says Rav Pavarsky Zatzal, he has calm, despite all the chaos around him. The critical takeaway, says Rav David Zatzal, is that one must not allow his physical or emotional sense to overtake his spiritual calm and the ability to properly serve Hashem. When we put HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we realize that He runs the world, says Rav David, in front of us, then we will always be able to make sure that we get ourselves back into sorts. It's what David HaMelech says, Gam Kelech Begeitz HaMavos, Lo Yirara, Ki Ata Yimadi. I don't have to go ahead and fear evil. Even if evil happens, it's because you are with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're there in the process. After Yosef turns around and he provides the translation and the interpretation of Paro's dreams, and then he offers his advice as to what Paro should do, so then the Pasuk tells us that Paro decided, HaKharei Hoti Elokim Oschoes Kozos, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu informed you of all this, Ein Navon Vechacham Kamocha, there's nobody so discerning and wise as you. Now, why weren't Paro's magicians able to interpret the dream? And also, why was the fact that Yosef was a dream interpreter indicate that there was no one as discerning as wise as him, and that he was fit to be viceroy? So Rav Stav, Shalit of the famous Rebbe at Yeshivas Kerem B'Yavneh, he made a very interesting observation. He turns around and he says that in dreams, the dreams that are recounted in the Parsha, Paro dreamed on a personal level, but also on the level of a king. Such that he saw reality through a more universal lens. You see, usually Paro dreams as an individual. And so therefore, the Chartumei Mitzrayim, the magicians who were used to him, and his personality and his way of thinking, his aspirations and the longings during the day that affected his dreams as night, they interpreted his dreams in a manner that calmed him. Like most of us, we go to sleep at night, we dream dreams, and we can wake up in the morning and most of the time we realize we had some sort of confusion about issues that were around us during the day. However, this time, the dream was different. This time, it was on a higher level that derived from the place where the hearts of the kings, Lev Malachim Biyad Hashem, that the heart of the kings is in the hands of Hashem. And the dream therefore bothered him. And the Chartumim could not understand what he experienced. They were not used to this type of dream. They're used to the Paro in the individual dream, not Paro the Melech. And so as a result, they weren't able to provide an explanation that satisfies him. Yosef's wisdom was not reflected in the fact that he explained the details of the dream. Everyone provides details. But rather, in the fact that he experienced the dream from the perspective of Paro. He interpreted the dream in a manner that was psychologically satisfying to Paro. Now, wisdom and discernment don't simply entail knowledge of details and the ability to draw conclusions. They also, wisdom also involves the ability to grasp the larger picture. And that's the level of perfection of the power of imagination. Many people think, says Rav Stav, that imagination is a delusion, but that's a huge mistake. The power of imagination is the power to paint an accurate picture of reality based on the overall impression of the facts. Yes, sometimes it's based on a delusion, but sometimes it's also the ability to be creative, the ability to see things on a more global scale and interpret. Art is the art of imagination. Creativity, Chidushei Torah come out because of that ability. And so therefore, says Rav Stav, that's what made Yosef a Navon V'Chacham. He had the ability to grasp where he was, what was different, and how to look at the picture differently. And for that, he deserved the credit. Vayikra Paro Shem Yosef Tzafnas Paneach. So we see that Paro calls Yosef Tzafnas Paneach. And then the Pasuk tells us that he married Asnat. Vayitzei Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim. And Yosef goes out over the land of Egypt. And Yosef's name is changed.
But before the end of the pasuk, it seems that he goes back to being Yosef again. Vayitzei Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim. Why and how? What happened to saying Vayitzei Tzavnas Pareach al Eretz Mitzrayim? So Rav Zadel Epstein Zatzal explained that the name Tzavnas Paneach was Paro's way of reminding Yosef that Paro was still the boss, and Yosef was now a new man under his spell and his rule. Yosef understood that this move was a means of assimilating him into the population of Mitzrayim, and so therefore, he chose to make sure that when he went out, when he would go around through the people, it was not going to be as Tzavnas Paneach, the assimilated one, but rather it was going to be as Yosef, Vayitzei Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim, maintaining his connection to his father's house at the very core of who he was. And so Yosef Yulad Shtei Banim, Yosef had two children. And the first one he called Menashe, Ki Nashani Elokim Eskol Amali, Hashem made me forget all my efforts. Now why is Yosef called a tzaddik if he was trying to forget his father in all of his earlier years? That doesn't seem correct. So Rabbi Yemeir Bloch Zatzal, the famous, tells Rosh Yeshiva's Yartzeit is coming up this week. He explains that there are some people who are so mired in their past that they cannot live in the present or prepare for the future. And Yosef was not one of those people. Yosef was ready to take his past and utilize the teachings in his present in order to build the ideal home based on where he was and where he was headed. And that's what Tzidkus is all about. It's not living in a past. It's taking a present based on a past. It's making sure that we live Chayei HaTorah now in the way that our fathers and grandfathers and parents, etc., wanted us to live. That's what we had to do. And so then the brothers come down to Egypt, and of course Yosef sees them and recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And he has them sit down. He seated them down, the oldest by his oldest place and the youngest by his youngest age. And Rashi explains that Yosef pretended to rely on his cup, on his gevia, as a means of magic. Now why were the Shvatim so surprised? They had seen such power in the past. So why were they surprised if a cup could simply turn around and spit out a birth order? So the late great Lakewood Mashkiach Rav Nosson Siwachvogel Zatzal explains that while the powers of Tumah are unleashed by a cup, these powers should only have been able to create disarray. But when it created Seder, when it created an order in life, that was surprising to the brothers. That didn't make sense. Chachma Bagoyim Tameh, and if you should know that there's Chachma among the nations of the world, that you can believe. But Torah Bagoyim, the understanding that there's Torah among them, Al Tameh, can't believe in that. Because the fact that there's a Seder Achayim, the fact that there's an order in life, that's a foreign thing for somebody to go ahead and hold on to. And still, notwithstanding, the brothers ate with him, Vayishgeru Imo. They drank with him, they allowed themselves to become imbibed. And Rashi adds that until that point, from the time of Mechiras Yosef, the brothers hadn't had any wine without him. And Rav Eliyahu Lopyan Zatzal explains that while the brothers had determined that Yosef was a rodef who needed to be stopped, they still felt a sense of kinship toward him. It's like the way Yehoshua deals with Achan ben Karmi. He recognizes that Achan was moel and he's going to have to pay, but he encourages him within the process. And so therefore, says Rav Eliyahu, they shared in the sorrow of his loss, and they refused to drink as a result, until the day that they were back reunited with him, even though they didn't understand that. Yaakov Avinu, Yosef later turns around and tells his servants to catch the brothers and to ask them the question, Lama shilamtem ra'a tachas tova, why do you repay me with evil in the place of my kindness? And Yosef's argument needs explanation. I don't understand. He was about to catch them red-handed in theft. So why does he question their etiquette? Ra'a tachas tova. How come you guys stole? It's a simple question. You're a bunch of thieves. What do you care about the fact that I treated you well, etc.? It just doesn't make sense. So the late great Alter of Slabodka explains that Yosef recognized the nature of his brothers. He knew that accusing them of a specific aveira that they knew they didn't commit would not bother them. However, accusing them of having ben midos, and especially a lack of hakaras hatov, that would bother them immensely, and so therefore he chose that approach because he knew it would set them off and hold them back. And so therefore, that is the final thought for the week that I'd like to present from Parshas Miketz. However, it is Shabbos Chanukah, and it is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and it is the special Haftorah. So before we get to the Haftorah, let me just highlight a thought about the
the lightings of Hanukkah, the Karbanos HaNesiim, and the fact that they often bring Soles Belula Vashemen LeMincha, that they bring this fine flour that's mixed with oil for a mincha. So very often, much of the menachos are brought with belula b'shemen, mixed with oil. And Rav Pam Zatzal noted the medrash that Torah is often compared to soles, and that fine flour has to be combined with oil. In the same way, oil, olive oil, is something that on its own really doesn't carry a tremendous amount of taste. People don't usually just consume olive oil on its own. Rather, people use olive oil because it's utilized in bringing out the best in others. And so therefore, olive oil often symbolizes masim tovim. And Rav Pam Zatzal noted that in the same way that Torah study needs to be combined, the same way that flour needs to be combined with oil, Torah study needs to be combined with good deeds, with midos tovos, and proper behavior. Says Rav Pam, Torah without midos has very little value. A person has to make sure that he is engaging in Torah and Masim Tova. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read the famous words of Zechariah, who noted, Lo b'chayo, v'lo b'koach, kiyam b'ruchi, amar Hashem Tzavakos. My dear friend, Dr. Roni Samet, used to bring me over to see his grandfather, the late Zeda Samet, and I have to say, Saba Samet. Saba Samet loved this pasuk in Tanakh more than any other pasuk in the world. And every time I went to visit him, he would remind me of the nevuah of Zechariah, lo b'chayel v'lo b'koach, not through the armies and not through might, ki im beruchi, but rather through the Spirit of Hashem. What does the nevuah mean? So Morinu or Rav Shachter, Shalita, would often quote the opinion of Rav Chaim, that when it came to Kibush Eretz Israel, when it came to the conquest of the land of Israel, and at the time of Yoshua, it was done through kibush. It was done through conquest. The conquest, however, on the other side, when it was time for Bayasheni to come into place, it was the kibush of Ezra, the conquest of Ezra was based not on kibush, there was no battle, but rather on settlement, on chazaka. Now kibush, when the land is conquered through conquest, that, says Reb Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal, it can be lost through the kibush of an enemy, when an enemy captures the land of Israel. But chazaka, the settlement of the land, that's going to be forevermore, and that's what Zechariah saw, that the kiddush of the second Beis HaMikdash era was with the Spirit of Hashem, lo b'chayel, v'lo b'choach. It wasn't done with armies or strength. Kiyam beruchi, it was done with the desire of Hashem to settle the Shechina in Eretz Yisrael. And that would remain until in effect until by Shlishi, which had come, b'mheira, b'yameinu amen, Shabbat shalom, chodesh tov, and Chanukah sameach, too.